We're back. Welcome back to another episode of Fire Tom Herman, your overreactionary Texas Longhorns football fan podcast. I'm Josh here with Noah again, and it is finally, actually, for realsies this time, college football season, which means no more talking about fall camp, no more heavy talks about recruiting, no more projecting, no more speculating. It's time for us to preview an opponent in depth because the Texas Longhorns have a real-life football game this week. For the first time in 4 years, Texas is not playing a P5 opponent to open the schedule. Instead, we've got the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs coming to town. And for the first time in nearly a decade, Texas opens the seasons with sky-high expectations, coming off the 2018 season, where we saw 10 wins plus a Sugar Bowl in which they barely beat Georgia. Noah, the first thing I've got to ask you, though, is just what in the fuck did I watch this weekend between Florida and Miami?
Hey, that was college football in all its glory, okay? Week one college football is what that was.
Not even week one. That was week zero.
Oh, yeah, week zero.
That is like fresh out of the gate. The gate's not even open. Like, the cake is not baked, to take Charlie Strong's.
No, it was not. I ended up busy that day, and I tuned in like towards the end of the fourth quarter, and the first thing I heard was, and Martell is lined up in the slot on the left. And at that point, I knew it was going to be something weird going on.
Yeah, I was really hoping to see him throw a pass. I just for the memes, I'm not rooting for the kid to succeed, but just to be able to hear them talk about Tathan Martell throwing a pass would have done a lot for me. But yeah, let's dive into it. First off, just talk through the injuries that we got for Texas. Tom Herman on Monday for his presser ran through the injuries. Kirk Johnson, the running back, still out. Daniel Young is out. Both of our walk-on running backs are out, which leaves us with two healthy scholarship running backs in Keontae Ingram and Jordan Whittington, both of whom have spent time banged up during fall camp. So that's something to keep an eye on.
Hey, that's three scholarship running backs now that we've converted a quarterback to the running back position.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot about that today with Tom Herman. I don't know about Tom Herman, but it's been talked about by Anwar that Roshan Johnson is now our emergency third string running back. So
yeah,
hopefully it doesn't come to that. Also out is Joshua Moore, the wide receiver. He's suspended while he's investigated for some unlicensed carry issues. We've got Gerald Wilbon, the defensive tackle. He is day-to-day. It was sort of up in the air whether or not he would play. Brennan Eagles and Zach Shackelford both missed time during camp. They're both expected to play. We'll see how much of an impact Brennan Eagles has, especially just because he had surgery. And then Cade Brewer, the tight end, was in concussion protocol to end fall camp. He's also expected to play. From there, let's talk about the depth chart. The first depth chart came out after Herman's Monday press conference. And there were a few surprises. I mentioned Brennan Eagles. He is going to be actually second string behind John Burt opposite Colin Johnson as the outside receiver. Another interesting one was Junior Ongalau and Parker Braun. They were actually listed as an or to be the starter at left guard. So that really raises the question what the offensive line is going to look like in the event they decide those two are the best guards. Does Braun go to left guard and Ongalau kicks Kerstetter out to right tackle? Does Kerstetter get kicked off the line and Okafor sticks at right tackle? All that remains to be seen. And really, I think the most interesting one, Kobe Boyce is starting opposite Jalen Green. Obviously, Anthony Cook is out for the first half due to the targeting penalty against Georgia late in the game. And then Deshaun Jameson also did not beat him out. Those two are listed behind Kobe Boyce. What do you think about that one?
Well, for the cornerbacks, I think that, I mean, I don't know if it's a matter of like the technicality with Anthony Cook being out as to why they're listing Boyce as a starter. I mean, Cook has reportedly struggled some during this fall camp, but I know that just from my outside perspective, based on their play last year, I would definitely have Cook starting. So really, it'll just be something to watch in the second half to see who trots out on the field first. And I'm sure that they'll both get plenty of run in the second half. But yeah, I'm glad that Jalen Green has at least locked down the other spot.
Yeah, and I have a feeling we'll see a lot of rotation at that position just with the amount of talent that we've got there, with it being as stacked up as it is. And of course, this is the depth chart for Monday. Herman did seem to sort of indicate during his press conference that it is liable to change based on how practice goes this week. A lot of that has happened depending on the prep level for Louisiana Tech. So we'll see who does end up out there for the first snaps on defense. And then, like you said, that second half when Anthony Cook is actually formally available, who gets the majority of the snaps in the second half.
Yeah, I think that we're actually going to see all three of those position battles end up going the way that fans are kind of hoping for, where Kobe Boyce ends up as the backup and likely Anthony Cook, but possibly Deshaun Jameson ends up as a starter, at least by LSU. And I think we'll also see Braun in the starting lineup. I just think it's unlikely that he doesn't break into one of those guard spots. And the same for Eagles over John Bird.
Yeah, I personally do believe that the Eagles situation is more of a reflection of the missed time due to the elbow surgery or whatever it was.
And it is the first week, and it's against Louisiana Tech. So, I mean, I do think that this is as good a time as any to do some of that switching around and actually playing guys in different scenarios and seeing who's able to take it from the practice field onto DKR. And, I mean, last year...
It's the luxury we have of not playing a P5 opponent this year.
Yeah, it's definitely nice. And last year we saw the same thing with the offensive line with, I think Kerstetter was originally the starting right tackle until, I think it took Cosme 2 or 3 weeks to win the job, but he kind of ran away with it once he got that full-time nod.
With that, let's jump in. Let's talk about Louisiana Tech. This is a team that wasn't top level, but it wasn't the bottom of the G5 either. They went 8-5 last year in Conference USA, I believe is where they are. 8-5, they had a bowl win against Hawaii in the Hawaii Bowl, appropriately. But it was really an instance where the defense really carried the offense. The offense was one of the worst in the country last year. And their offense is also their biggest highlight, I think, that most people would know them for, was for ending up, what was it, in fourth and goal from their own 10-yard line against Mississippi State. So, I mean, you got to figure they can only go up from there, right?
Yeah, you'd hope so. But I also think, I know that they're returning a lot on offense at the skill positions, right, with the quarterback. Their receiver, Adrian Hardy, is really good. And then their running backs. But I think their offensive line, they're actually losing, like, quite a few starters. So you'd assume they can only go up. But, and hey, they didn't have to play us last year. So hopefully we'll do our job in knocking them down a peg.
Yeah, and with them turning over the offensive line with a lot of, I didn't actually do enough research to see how many starts they lost. I did take a surface level glance at the offensive line. Looks like it's all going to be upperclassmen. So if they are replacing experienced starters, they have guys who've been in the program for a while, have been around. They're not throwing guys to the wolves.
And yeah, that was
true freshmen or anything like that.
That was my impression as well. I mean, I'll admit that I did not go watch a lot of Louisiana Tech games from last year to really figure out all the exact details, but I think they had like 10 different guys, or at least a lot of different guys, start on the offensive line last year. So they might have lost some of their starters, but it's a similar situation in Texas where, like, due to injury and other factors, the guys that they have stepping up are upperclassmen and they do have previous starting experience at least.
Let's talk about the quarterback, led by senior Jamar Smith. This guy's got 27 career starts, thrown for actually a pretty good amount of yards, about 6,500 yards passing. He's not much of a runner either. He had 3 touchdowns last year, but really had less than 200 yards rushing and averaged less than 2 per carry. So it'll be interesting to see that step forward that he takes, with this now being basically his third full year as the starter. Another fall camp. He's been turnover prone in his career. He's got something like half as many interceptions as he has turnovers, or as he has touchdowns. So while there is that threat of him being a returning guy, the production that he has doesn't really like light up the scoreboard necessarily.
Yeah, he seems like a pretty just all right quarterback to me. You know, he has some talent to throw it to, which is good for him. But he also isn't exactly tearing it up in CUSA, which is kind of what you look for if you're really going to consider a guy to be elite. So I don't consider him too much of a threat, but at the same time, he's probably good enough to take advantage if we actually leave him any room to do so.
Yeah, especially, like you said, with wide receiver Adrian Hardy, who will inevitably be his favorite target. More than 1,000 yards receiving, only 6 touchdowns last year, which I think is sort of reflective of just the overall struggles that the offense had for Louisiana Tech. But Herman mentioned him in the press conference as being a guy who can play anywhere in the country. He's a legit Biletnikoff watch list type of player. Being G5, it's hard to imagine him actually winning it. But, I mean, he's a real threat, and he's going to be someone that's going to challenge whichever cornerback gets matched up on him. So it'll be a good, actually, way to acclimate those guys, kind of really throw them to the fire. Don't have them on some easy-to-cover guy right off the bat. Doesn't ease them in, and it'll hopefully make them more prepared for LSU next week.
Yeah, and Hardy, I mean, he had 10 catches, 181 yards, and 2 scores against LSU last year. So it's not like he was only tearing it up in the group of 5 play. He's legit. I mean, LSU had a great secondary. So yeah, I'm really glad that our young DBs are actually going to get a chance to line up a guy like that in a low-pressure situation where they can make a couple of mistakes.
Hopefully a low-pressure situation.
Yeah, yeah, definitely hopefully. But I mean, I'm assuming that we're going to be able to take care of the game even if he does pop off for a similar stat line. At the very least, it should be a good learning experience.
Yeah, hopefully it's not just a thing where he shows up against the good teams. Like you said, 2 touchdowns, that's a third of his production as far as scoring last year. So also returning, we mentioned the leading rusher, Jaquise Dancy. Really only 650 yards rushing, 140 yards receiving as well, and 10 total touchdowns between rushing and receiving. So, again, another one where the numbers don't pop off the page, and it sounds like from my light research of the Louisiana Tech beat, it's going to be sort of a by-committee approach. It sounds like they're going to sort of cycle through 3 different guys and did the same thing last year, but Dancy was the most effective, I guess, of those 3.
Yeah, that was my impression, too. They don't seem like they have any sort of, like, workhorse or bona fide superstar at the position, but, I mean, they are returning talent from last year, and so I think it is reasonable for them to like expect improvement at that spot. But I mean, I'm not particularly threatened by their run game. My overall impression of their offense is that they rely a lot on big plays to move the ball, and that kind of played in with some just like efficiency and red zone struggles. So I think as long as we're able to play the run reasonably well and not miss tackles at the second level, then we should be able to handle their rushing attack pretty well.
Definitely. Let's move on to the defense next. Their defensive coordinator, I think, is the most interesting wrinkle we've got here. Bob Diaco is the defensive coordinator beginning this year, and he's familiar with Tom Herman and Tom Herman's system. Not only was he the head coach at UConn while Herman was at Houston, so they had 2 games where they played each other. He was also an analyst for the first Red River Shootout game last year for OU. And then he was also the linebacker coach after Mike Stoops got fired, so faced us again in the Big 12 title game. So he's going to have some familiarity with our personnel. But the most interesting part is definitely that time at UConn, just because that would give him the most involvement in the actual game planning. As the full-on head coach, he was definitely intimately involved with a very improved UConn defense while he was there. And really the bad news is UConn was the one team to beat Houston in their 2015 season. Admittedly, Greg Ward Jr. got hurt very early in that game, and that led to a lot of the Houston offense's struggles. And that was evidenced in the 2016 game, which was at home for Houston, where Greg Ward was healthy and they blew him out 42-14 for a Houston win there.
Yeah, it is kind of funny how it's a small world a lot of times where, I mean, there's just a lot of these stories where, like, coaches have familiarity with each other and, like, cross each other at different points in their careers. So, I don't know. I'm not overly concerned about Diaco having some sort of secret formula to beat Herman. But he definitely will at least be prepared and know what he's going to be facing. Because he does have that familiarity, not just with Herman, but with Herman at 2 different stops, right? So, he can take away learning and tendencies from Herman's time at Houston and Texas, which should help him know like what Herman does as his like fundamental system rather than just individual tweaks that he's made in different seasons. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But like we said, it is his first year at Louisiana Tech. So he's going to be learning his own personnel as much as he's trying to figure out what we're going to be doing. But this was a defense that was actually surprisingly good. I mean, if you believe the advanced stats at all, they had one of the best defensive lines in the country. They had one of the best defensive backfields in the country. Really, the only area where they struggled was at linebacker. So there was a little bit of trash being talked by one of the safeties today. Was more or less saying that our receivers struggle with press coverage. The natural reaction for a lot of Texas fans on Twitter that I saw was just sort of mocking the guy. But you look closer at those stats, you go, actually, if there's one unit for Louisiana Tech that is in a position to talk shit about another team's offense, it's their defensive backs.
Yeah, and I will say they did lose like their best defender last year. Jalen Ferguson ended up being a third-round draft pick to the Ravens. So it'll be interesting to see how they're able to replace him. I think he actually played linebacker or maybe defensive end while he was there. So that's going to be something big that they're going to have somebody step up. But beyond that, their secondary does seem solid. I mean, I think our receivers are better just because even though they're defense was highly ranked, it's not like they're playing a whole lot of explosive passing offenses in Conference USA.
Right. And like you said, with Ferguson going third round, that like to emphasize how big an impact he would have on the game for that defense, he had 17 and a half sacks last year. So it was no small feat that he led the team. He effectively was the pass rush, because up until the bowl game, no one else on the team had more than 3 sacks. So, I mean, that really goes to show just how sort of one-man army he was. So we'll have to see how their defensive line looks this year comparatively. They are switching from a 4-3 to a 3-4 with Diaco now. So it looks like their best pass rusher is going to be former defensive end, now a rush linebacker, Willie Baker. He had 4 sacks in their bowl game, brought his season total to 7. 4 sacks in their bowl game against Hawaii. He appears to be the biggest threat as a pass rusher.
Yeah, I think I'll be really interested to see which side he actually lines up on, because I trust Cosme to hold the left tackle down, but it does seem like we're going to be starting Okafor on the right side, and he doesn't seem to, like, pass blocking isn't Okafor's strong suit so far, so I'd love to see him matched up against the Baker, just so that we can kind of learn more about what exactly Okafor is going to be bringing to the table.
Yeah, and I feel like if Diaco has any brain at all, and he worked for OU last year, so it's entirely possible that he doesn't, I would line him up against Okafor. Looking at it from their side, I would put him on Okafor every single snap that I could. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of seeing Cade Brewer if he's in line, in along the line, or even just sort of in the backfield as an H-back, definitely sort of shaded towards that side to support Okafor. With that being the perceived pass rush threat. They also returned their leading tackler, even though the linebacking core struggled. Colin Scott, their middle linebacker, led the team in tackles last year. He's back this year. Obviously, as a linebacker, there's only so much value you can take out of looking at tackle stats, just because those are the guys who are supposed to soak up the tackles. But that is experience coming back. So it'll be interesting to see with this change, like I said, from 4-3 to 3-4, how those linebackers adapt, if that helps them at all, and just sort of how well they've picked up this new system.
Yeah, absolutely. That the story of our offense against their defense could ultimately come down to that rush in spot, right? Because if Sam has time, he should be able to pick their secondary apart, no matter how good they are. With the talent we've got at receiver, they're going to need to generate some form of pass rush and also hopefully be able to stop the run. And if they're wanting to keep the score low enough to have a chance.
The last bit for Louisiana Tech is really just to talk about the special teams. And there's not a whole lot to discuss. They return their kicker. Obviously, I'm not going to waste a lot of time on talking about their punter. But for their kicker, he is reliable as long as you're inside of 40 yards. Anything outside of 40 yards, from my quick Google, I think he was less than half the time did he hit those field goals from outside 40. So that means field goal range for them doesn't actually come up until they're basically inside the 25-yard line on offense. So I think that helps the defense if they do sort of end up in a bend but don't break situation on several drives against Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, seems like it. And that kind of would play into some of their, just from what I was reading, their red zone struggles last year. But at least they're able to get field goals off of those to kind of keep the offense afloat.
All right. And then now for my favorite part, sort of learning about the opponent each week. I always like to go through the depth chart just to see what they've got for the East-West Bowl from the old Key and Peele sketches, all name team candidates that are on this team. So I'll go first. We'll just sort of go back and forth here, Noah, and just read off some of these names that I tracked down. My favorite one right off the bat, safety B.J. Williamson. And that's not just the letter B, the letter J for like B.J. Foster. It's literally B-E-E space J-A-Y. So B.J. Williamson.
Yeah, well, hey, I'm taking RPJ any day.
Yep. I'll take a BJ any day, so.
Yeah, okay.
That was a nice awkward silence.
Yeah.
keep it rolling,
I think the next man up on that all-name team is going to be Ephraim Kitchen.
That's about as good as I probably could have pronounced that. It's sort of just one of those throwback names.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of a cool look there. I don't know. I like it. I'm a fan.
Yeah. Next, they've got, I believe he's sort of a kick return specialist. I don't know his primary position, but we'll probably see him mostly at kick returner, is Praise Okori.
Yeah, I'm not wanting them to return a kick for a touchdown, but if they did, and if Gus Johnson were the announcer for the game, and he just went off praising Okori, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah,
just that'd for work. The hype. Well, next up is Israel Tucker, and yeah, he's a running back. Yeah, right. He's their running back, and maybe he'll take them to the promised land.
The next one I got, and mostly I just like this guy's sort of nickname more than his regular name. It's wide receiver Davin Harris, but it seems like he's going to go with his nickname of Smoke. So wide receiver Smoke Harris.
Yeah, they all call him just Smoke. Like that one safety that was talking about pressing our receivers. Like, he just called him Smoke at one point. I was like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he had another name until looking through the depth chart. But then lastly, that we have their safety, Legarius Sneed. And
he is the one who was talking trash, by the way.
Oh, that is him?
Sneed,
okay. Well, Legarius just reminds me a little bit of Lil Jordan. You know, you got that LJ with the apostrophe. So, you know, that's a pretty cool name in my book.
Oh, yeah. So, now that we've done the sort of breaking down of this Louisiana Tech team, it's time for the moment of truth. Noah, score prediction. We got a spread of 20.5. First off, are we going to clear that? And then what's the actual score?
I kind of think that we will win but not cover. Louisiana Tech, I think that, I mean, they're a pretty good G5 school. And I saw that even though they don't actually beat these big Power 5 opponents that they play sometimes, I think they've covered the spread in like 7 of 11 of their last P5 games. And I think they've won their last couple bowl games. So, you know, they can play up against pretty decent competition. So I kind of think that they'll cover, and it'll just be one of those scenarios where like they score a touchdown late to get within the spread. But I got us at 38-20, force a couple field goals, have to settle for one of our own, but find the end zone more often than not.
Yep, and seems like we're actually going to be pretty close on predictions. I got 38-21, so that I'm in the same boat. I feel like we're going to spend the majority of the late game beating that spread, and it's going to be one of those sort of late garbage time touchdowns for Louisiana Tech. So we'll spend the end of the game at about 38-14. Louisiana Tech scores late to make some bettors tear up their tickets towards the end of the game for not covering the spread. Next up, we got our traditional hot take of the week, what we're expecting to see. Just for moving forward, anyone who's unfamiliar, this isn't necessarily just about this game. Sometimes if we're not feeling super creative or good about picking a hot take for the Texas game, we'll pick something nationwide. But what do you got for us this week, Noah? What's your hot take?
All right, well, I do got some for the Texas game. And my hot take of the week is that Sam Ellinger kicks off his Heisman campaign with 3 touchdowns in the first quarter. You know, and given,
so you're saying 38 points the whole game.
Yeah.
At least 21 of those coming from Sam Ellinger in some form in the first quarter alone.
Yes, sir.
So
I mean, I think that we'll get off to a little bit of a fast start. You know, even Tulsa last year, we were up, what, 14-0 or 21-0? I think it was 14-0 at halftime. But yeah, I'm expecting us to get going early. And then, like, once – I think that our starters will play at least one drive probably halfway through the third quarter. And I don't expect our second-team offense to be scoring a lot. So I could definitely see a scenario in which we're up 35-10 in the middle of the third quarter, and then we end up winning, like, 38-20 or something like that. But I do think that we're going to have a really nice start, at least on the first couple of drives.
Got to make a sweat a little bit there at the end.
Yeah, of course.
My hot take is with regard to the stat that we've heard about a million times this offseason. Texas did not score a 50-yard touchdown all of last season. I think this is a game we get it out of the way early, and not only do we get it out of the way, we do it twice. I haven't gone so far as to pick who's going to do it. I'm somewhere between Jordan Whittington, Devin Duvernay,
Oh, I was just going to say you got to pick your pocket.
Okay, I'm going to say the first one is going to be Jordan Whittington.
Oh, we're getting multiple?
Say again?
Oh, we're getting multiple 50-yard touchdowns?
Oh, yeah. I'm saying we do it not once, but twice.
Okay.
So I'm saying the first one is Jordan Whittington. The second one, I'm going to say that Sam finally identifies my boy, Devin Duvernay, for that second 50-yard touchdown. That's the call. Whittington on a screen pass, and Devin Duvernay just straight up the seam, out of the slot. Sam finally finds him there.
And they both happen in the first quarter.
Since last year. There you go. First quarter for both of them, both 50-yard touchdowns. And we can both be right. That sounds like a good deal to me. Also, here's another section. For those of you who are new, we also... Usually this is for reviews, but since it's been an entire off season of not really getting to call for someone's head, every week we're going to decide which coach we want to fire. And if Texas isn't playing, we're going to find someone else across the country to fire. But in this case, we're going based on the off season. Who do you want to fire, Noah?
All right, well, I'm firing Herb Hand because, I mean, honestly, I can't really blame the guy. I know that he loves to tinker with his lineups and he likes to get people cross-trained. But at the same time, I'm kind of thinking that it's going to be a scenario like last year where we know who the best players are. And we also don't really fully settle into that until like the second game. I went back and looked at the Cosme thing that I mentioned earlier, and he did start week two, but it was still a little bit of a rotation. So I kind of wish that we just had settled onto our offensive lineup just a little bit sooner. So that's why I'm going to fire Hand, just, you know, because why not? We got to fire somebody, so.
Absolutely. And since I do have to also select someone to fire, I'm going to fall back on my old reliable. For those of you who have been around the show for a while, you already know the answer to this. Derek Wareheim. Strap him to a missile. Send him to the sun. Just get him out of here. He needs to go. He shouldn't have been here in the first place. He's still here year three. Today's as good a day as any, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, just to add. Sorry, I don't want people to get upset about firing Herb Hand. I loved Herb Hand. It's just, I'm really looking forward to watching Parker Prawn crush some people, and I wish I could see him do it for a full game.
Yeah, fuck the haters. Who cares if they whine about you wanting to fire Herb Hand? We're not there to listen to them anyway. We're not catering to you guys. We're not here to just sort of coddle. I don't care. Call your shot. Be bold about it. Come on. All right.
Is worse than Derek Wareheim as a coach, so they both need to go. As an offensive line
coach. Okay, now we're just going to move on. With that, we've reached the end of our preview of the upcoming season opener for Texas. Thank you to everyone who's listening. Let us know how we're doing on Reddit or on Twitter at the FTH Podcast. We will see y'all next week for the next episode, hopefully breaking down a Texas win. Hook 'em.